Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Derek McLean is a Tony and Emmy Award-winning production designer for stage and screen. He designed the last four consecutive Academy Awards telecasts and all three of NBC's recent live musical events, The Sound of Music, Peter Pan, and The Wiz. He was the production designer for the HBO documentary Becoming Mike Nichols and the European tour Hans Zimmer Revealed. McLean's most recent design to open on Broadway is for Fully Committed, written by Becky Mode, directed by Jason Moore, and starring Jesse Tyler Ferguson. A selection of previous Broadway shows on his resume are Noises Off, Beautiful, the Carole King musical, Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo, Follies, Anything Goes, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and 33 Variations, for which he won his Tony Award in 2009. Right here in our region, he's worked at the Williamstown Theater Festival and is designing Barrington Stage Company's Musical Theater Lab world premiere of Presto Changeo, which opens later this month in Pittsfield. He's a busy guy. That list includes less than half of what he's done, and I didn't even mention everything he's working on this week. Derek McLean, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
My first question is very broad. How do you learn to do what you do? Where did you study? How did you pick it up? And how do you know that you'll have a gift for it?
Well, I studied at Yale Drama School. I got an MFA in set design. That was a three-year program, and basically what we did starting the first year was we had to design one set a week all year long and then bring it in Saturday morning for a critique. You had to work really fast, come up with ideas quickly, and then go defend them. So that was my sort of formal training. You know, beyond that, the great thing about being a set designer is you work on a bazillion different projects. So, you know, you feel like you get to keep trying new things and inventing things and be influenced by other people's work, by works of art that you see, by experiences, structures you see. So it's you know, I feel like I'm always trying to learn to be a better set designer.
I would think with a design, you can do anything that serves the project and fits in the space. So how do you figure that out?
Yeah, that's true. And that can be really daunting. You know, for some projects, it's totally daunting until you really read them. And the minute you do that, and the minute you have a conversation with the director about what kind of show you want it to be, it narrows the possibilities a fair amount. That being said, there's always a million ways that you can design any show. The challenge, the balance, is trying to actually serve the play, serve the project, as well as do something that, you know, excites me as an artist. But really, that comes second. It's really more important. You know, I really like to feel an obligation to serve the project, serve the play.
You've designed the Oscars for four consecutive years, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
How do you first get that gig and figure out what you will do with that?
Well, I got that gig because two producers, Neil Marin and Craig Zaden, who I'd worked with on a Broadway musical, were named producers of the Oscars, and they called me up and asked me to design it. And they said something pretty incredible to me, which still kind of boggles my mind when I think about, you know, the kind of confidence they gave me. They said, "We want you to design this to look like your work. We don't want you to design this to look like any other Oscar show. We hired you because we like your style." And then they named about four different shows that I had designed, very specific productions with a very specific aesthetic. And they said, obviously, the Oscars couldn't look exactly like that, but we want you to come up with an Oscar version of one of those designs. What would it be like if you were doing that design, but for the Oscars? That was an amazing place to start, really exciting, because, you know, of course, when the first thing I thought when they said, "Would you like to design the Oscars?" was, you know, I had a moment of panic where I thought, "Oh, wow, I'm going to have to try to make it look like the Oscars."
Right.
and they didn't want that at all, so that was kind of amazing.
And then while it looks like your Oscars, it still does look like the Oscars, because that's what it is.
Well, of course. So I'm not that original.
Oh, no, I don't mean that, of course.
No, you know, well, there's a couple reasons for that. I mean, for one, you know, the icon of the Oscar statue is pretty important, I think, to, you know, to the Academy, and it's important to the event, because that is what's being handed out after all. But also, I'm very aware, designing the Oscars, that the audience has a certain expectation for that show. And their expectation, you know, has to do with the beauty and mythology and glamour of Hollywood. And it's one of the few places left where that is still viewed. I've always thought that that's part of the fun of watching the Oscars, and I think that a lot of the audience does as well. So I feel an obligation to fulfill that. The flip side of that is I want to also surprise people, and I want to do it in a way that they wouldn't have necessarily expected. So it's striking that balance of, you know, meeting and fulfilling the expectation, even obligation, of that glamour, and doing it in an original way, in a way that doesn't feel pretentious.
What kind of lead time do you get, and what size team do you have to work with you?
The lead time, you know, this year I got started a little bit late. There were new producers this year, and they had a lot of decisions to make at the beginning. So, I started in September, and the show aired at the end of February. So that was about the amount of time. And, you know, within that, the designs sort of have to be done in December so that there's time to build the scenery. So you really have about 2 or 3 months to design the scenery.
In that and other projects, probably everything, as technology advances, does that make a big difference? And do you have to learn new things to be able to utilize it?
I'm always excited about new technologies and what they can do. There are people who work with me, people on my team, who are much better at some of the technologies than I am. I've never learned how to use CAD or AutoCAD, you know, any of those computer drafting programs. They're amazing programs, and they're essential. But I've decided that I don't really draft scenery anymore anyway, so I rely on others who are much better at that than me to do the CAD work. But I often like to buy new gadgets for the studio. Some of them work wonderfully, and some of them are not so amazing. But it's always exciting to see what they can do. I'm also always interested in trying to figure out ways to use gadgets in ways that they weren't intended to be used. I remember a couple of years ago, I did a set for a musical. The musical didn't really turn out that well, but the set was pretty interesting. And what we started doing was, just as an experiment one day, I decided to try printing a photograph in our inkjet printer on a deli napkin. And it took a lot of work to figure out how to get a deli napkin to go through the printer. We had to iron it first to get all the creases out. And then we had to very carefully tape it to a piece of paper, very neatly. If there were any folds, imperfections, it would just jam the inkjet printer. But once we figured that out, what happened to the images on the deli napkins was stunning, because all the ink bled. And it turned these kind of photographic images into these kind of crazy watercolors. And then we started making models that were all out of clear plastic, and then taking these printed deli napkins and gluing them onto the clear plastic. And they had this kind of resemblance to photographs, but they really weren't photographs. They were some kind of strange painting. Anyway, that kind of, you know, playing around with... And by the way, at the time we did that, inkjet printers were still fairly new.
Right. A newer printer,
yeah. So it was, you know, that kind of experimentation is fun. And it doesn't always work, but it's, you know, you learn stuff when you try things that way.
You have designed the NBC Live musical extravaganza events.
Yeah.
The Sound of Music, Peter Pan, and The Wiz.
Right.
How did that go? How did you feel about those? Which I think they're great. But how did you feel?
Thank you. Well, you know, they were all very different.
Very different.
It's an extremely new form. I mean, it's an old form, but it's a new form. The, you know, TV musicals were big in the 50s and 60s, and then they were shelved, and they really weren't done. There have obviously been many movie musicals, but live TV musicals hadn't been done in a really long time. And so, you know, when I look back at what we did on Sound of Music, so much of it looks naive to me now. But on the other hand, we were so consumed with just trying to figure out how to actually make that story work. And it is a beautiful story. It's a musical that actually doesn't need to be jazzed up. You know, so I'm very proud of what we accomplished in that regard. I think the form in the last 4 years has already come a long way in terms of sort of investigating and experimenting with other ways to do it. You know, so then we did Peter Pan, and that was done in a very different style. We shot that, you know, kind of as immersively and 360 degrees as possible. The TV director, Glenn Weiss, shot a huge amount of with long takes with a Steadicam, which is a much more contemporary way of shooting than cutting between different cameras. And that gave the whole thing a different energy. And then last year we did The Wiz, which we really staged as a Broadway show, as a kind of proscenium show. And that was a completely different way of approaching the show and gave it a whole new energy. And then I watched with great admiration and fascination last year as a whole different team did the Grease Live.
David Korins and his team.
Yeah. And that was totally interesting also because they really used a back lot and the camera traveled from space to space. That had a whole new energy and style. So what's exciting about the whole sort of genre, if you can call it a genre, is that it's brand new and people are trying things. You know, just as they're trying a lot of things on a lot of the premium cable networks, there's a lot of experimentation. This is sort of a new form that people are inventing, and so it's an exciting time to be doing it.
Do you have a favorite set or favorite element that you've created in your career as of now?
The answer to that changes, of course, over time. I have a couple of favorites. I would say, I have something of a fetish for repeating objects. I suppose you might call it a weakness for repeating objects. But some of my favorite sets have featured that. That's been a fun thing to play with. But honestly, for me, the thing that's most exciting is when a show really works. There's nothing like working on a production where you feel like the audience really is absorbed and responds. It's funny how when you do that, when you work on a show like that, then you feel like the design is brilliant.
A project you're working on right now, Fully Committed, directed by Jason Moore, starring Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and Jesse is the only cast member.
Yeah. It takes place in a basement reservations room of a very fancy, very trendy restaurant that's impossible to get a table at. So the set ostensibly is this basement reservation room, which is pretty crummy, and we researched this by looking at the old reservations room in the basement of the old Union Square Cafe, which recently has shut down. They're moving to new quarters, but we were shocked when we went down there and looked at how tiny this room was, and it was full of pipes and drainage pipes and water pipes and a very, very low ceiling. The ceiling couldn't have been higher than about 6'6", so very claustrophobic. And so that was really interesting and surprising, and there are a lot of good details from that which appear in this set. But the set has a much sort of bigger picture also, which is that it's about trying to show the glamour and the expensiveness of the restaurant, and also the kind of the whirlwind of the kind of restaurant business and the kind of whirlwind of the game of getting a good table, getting a good seat at the restaurant. Because the thing in the show is it's not just about getting a table; it's about getting a specific table, and it's very funny. The set features, among other things, a kind of cyclone of chairs that swirls up overhead. I'm excited about it. It also has a giant wine rack, wine wall. You know, as you would see in a restaurant that's got about 1,000 wine bottles on it, all sort of beautifully lit.
Derek, it's been a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. It's nice talking to you.
Derek McLean's website is derekmclean.org. We'll post a link to his site along with pictures of his designs and the audio of this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.